At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university, online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm enjoying this Saturday morning.
Well, for us, yeah.
Giving up, you know, the day that we record, but... I'm excited for whatever you have planned. I don't know what it is.
I'm excited for what I have planned. Honestly, this very easily could have been the Halloween episode, but I didn't really do a lot of planning.
And that's okay.
You know, like, I'm flying by the seat of my pants for the Halloween episode a little bit. And
relax.
I was just excited to do a frogging episode, and then I got too deep into researching this episode, and this is the episode I have prepped for this week. And so we're getting Halloween very early. We're still going to do some Halloween stuff, I'm sure, because I love it. But we're getting ooky spooky.
Now, let me make this argument. Is it not Halloween season?
No, it is.
It is the next holiday.
It totally is. But we're still, this episode's going to come out in September. In a perfect world, this would come out in the beginning of October. I think October is like next week. So like, let's just pretend.
Relax.
Relax. Everyone get off my back. All right. But no, I'm excited, and I think this is going to be a really creepy episode, so I hope you enjoy it. Before we jump in, Patreon, we have it, and a new poll should be up for bonus episode number 44. Can you believe it? That's so many bonus episodes. Our Patreon is only $5 a month, and you get access to all of our bonus episodes that are full length. Our patrons get to vote on the stories they want to hear, and what else? They get early access to all of our episodes and couple other cool perks.
Not an ad to be found on Patreon.
Not one in sight. All right, let's set the scene. It's October. We're going to make it October. There's a chill in the air.
Pumpkin season?
Yeah.
The leaves
are changed.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can smell pumpkin in the air, like a nice, like, thick, hearty candle. Pumpkin pie candle.
Okay.
You got your fuzzy socks on.
Wow, we're really going deep.
Yeah. And it's dusk.
Okay. At like 5 p.m.
Yeah, unfortunately. Anyway, you get it. It's spooky time. Let's jump in.
Okay. I really was curious how far you were going to keep going with
it. I could have kept going, but we're getting too thick into it. Let's just jump in. In July of 1986, Tina Bowen was 14 years old and living in Pepperell, Massachusetts. The town was small, quiet, and peaceful, and Tina and her 8-year-old sister Karen would ride their bikes up and down the street, and they didn't have to worry about traffic, because this was a very small town. But there wasn't much to do in this small town. They lived on a gravel road in a 3-bedroom, split-level ranch, which of course included their kitchen, their living room, and then their basement level had a family room, which they called the Red Room, and then they also had a laundry/cellar area.
Their living room is in the basement?
They had a living room on the first floor, but then the living room on the basement floor was, I guess, like a family area or like a playroom that they called the Red Room.
Why isn't it just called the basement? I'm confused. It doesn't matter.
But doesn't matter.
We have a red room in the basement?
Yeah, it adds what to the creepy factor. I don't know.
What is going on? Red room.
Like, sure. Yes, exactly.
I'm uneasy. I'm not going in the basement.
Well, stay uneasy because it's about to get creepy.
Sure,
up in here.
I know. People are living in the house. We get it.
Anyway, Tina and Karen lived with their father and Tina's friend Kathy, who was 15 years old. Tina and Karen's mother had passed away a year earlier. And when Tina lost her mother, she was, of course, devastated. Her mother was her everything. And now that her mom was gone, Tina had to take on a lot more responsibility, taking care of her younger sister. On top of taking care of herself and being a teenager, she had to make sure her younger sister was fed, clothed, her laundry was done, she got to school on time. She was dealing with a lot. The solution her dad had was to allow Tina's best friend Kathy to move in with them. Kathy's parents moved to Tennessee, but she wanted to stay to finish high school, so Tina's dad offered to be her guardian so she could stay.
Also wild.
Yeah, that is pretty wild, but it was the 80s, so he's like, yeah, all right, I'll have another kid. And the parents were like, all right, see you later, Kathy.
I mean, how old is she?
Like 15. She just wanted to finish out high school.
I know, but that's not like, oh, it's my senior year. Even two, that's like, she's like, what, a sophomore?
Yeah,
that's crazy. And your parents are just like, yeah, we're moving to Texas,
to Tennessee. Yeah, and she's in Massachusetts. Like, that's not a close distance.
Yeah, see ya. I mean, we kind of didn't like you anyway, and you're getting really moody, so we're out.
Yeah, right, you're right? In your prime teenage years, so we'll just know.
I'm sure that there was
them.
More to that, like maybe there was some like job opportunity that didn't exist, we hope.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know. That seems crazy. Did you ever have anything like that happen around you?
No, definitely not. But also, it was great for Tina and honestly, Kathy probably, because they were best friends and they got to continue being best friends and they felt like now they were sisters. So they were like, this is great.
Yeah. Does this become like a stepfather-like situation?
Yeah, I mean, he was her guardian.
Yeah, but I'm trying to imagine telling a teenager that just like was your daughter's friend a few months ago what to do.
Well, I mean, he was in charge,
I guess.
I don't know the dynamics of their relationship at this point, but it seemed like, well, I'm going to get into it, but like he wasn't around too much anyway, because like I said, really sadly, her mother passed away and the father had to keep up with the finances. So he took a lot of extra shifts. And so he was working a ton. So these teenage girls and the 8-year-old were just like home alone almost all the time. I'm going to get into it. But so these girls just had free range of this house like all the time.
Wow.
Let's keep going.
I mean, it's a teenager's dream, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like what they would imagine they would want.
Yes.
Minus the, you know, the dead mother part.
Right, minus the trauma.
That's really tough.
Exactly. So for the most part, it would just be the three girls in the house having to fend for themselves. Karen and Tina's father worked very long hours at a hotel as a restaurant manager that was far from where they lived. So the girls were home alone a lot, which was, in a way, difficult. But also, for a couple of teenage girls, it had its benefits. They could do whatever they wanted to. Tina would stay up late talking on the phone all night long. She would eat ice cream for dinner. She would torment her little sister anytime she wanted to. Karen said Tina fed her, took care of her, beat her up, made fun of her, tortured her. They were sisters. She loved hanging out with Tina and Kathy. So they were regular sisters. They had their fun. They tormented Karen. But at the end of the day, they loved each other.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Their laundry machine broke one day, so Tina's dad dropped the girls off at the local laundromat. They put their clothes in, and they were bored, so they decided to start dancing in front of the windows. And it was a small town, and some boys were walking by, and they wanted to exchange numbers because they saw the girls dancing in the window. So, as a boy-crazy 14-year-old, Tina was ecstatic at this interaction, and she happily handed out her phone number to a couple of teenage boys.
Yeah, well, And they have the whole house to themselves, like, all the time.
Yes.
This could get wild.
Yeah, it could. But it wasn't, like, wild in that way where they were having boys over all the time. It was wild in that they were just, like, talking on the phone all night with the boys.
Gotcha.
Aside from their boy-crazy teenage girl antics, Tina really missed her mom. And in an attempt to feel closer to her again, she did something kind of stupid and desperate. And understandable. I mean, she's trying to feel close to her mom. So she was really, really sad and needed answers. So she and Kathy and Karen decided they were going to hold a seance. And during the seance, she asked, "Mom, are you there?" During that seance, they would ask questions and they began hearing knocking on the walls, almost as if it was in response to their questions. And after that, the cover to the electrical panel flew off the wall onto the ground and scared the crap out of these little girls, which was when they finished their seance. They were like, "That's quite enough. I think I'm done."
Right.
With the seance. So after the seance, really weird things started happening. One day, all the things from the shed were scattered all over the backyard. The rakes, the shovels, the lawn chairs, their bikes were everywhere. And Tina and Kathy looked at each other because they knew it wasn't Karen, and it definitely wasn't either of them. So they told Tina's dad, who wasn't extremely concerned. He blamed it on some of the neighbor kids and said they were probably playing a joke on them and it would be fine. But now Tina and Kathy had to go clean it up. But they were just baffled. They're like, "What is going on?" Karen definitely didn't grasp what was happening, but this was only the beginning. One day, in the middle of the day, the doorbell rang, and when Tina answered the door, nobody was there. She started to wonder if somebody was messing with her and she just wasn't catching them, or was it possible that their seance had brought in a ghost? She didn't know if it was her mom or if it was something more negative. It didn't seem like it was her mom, because her mom wouldn't play mean tricks on her.
Yeah, like ding dong ditch the house.
Yeah, so she worried that it was a more negative spirit. The girls would leave a room and find that the furniture had moved and pictures had been knocked off the walls. Their clothes were pulled out from drawers. They told their father about this, but he assumed that the girls had an active imagination and dismissed them. 3 days went by, and that night there was a thunderstorm, and one crack of lightning lit up the front bay windows. At that moment, Tina heard Kathy and Karen shriek at the top of their lungs. So Tina came running, which is when they told her that her mother was in the dining room. They had seen the shadow of a person on the wall when the lightning struck. And Tina had no idea what to think.
Whoa.
But it was gone. They saw the shadow of a person. They figured it was the mother, you know, or the ghost of the mother, because they held the seance. And then it was gone. And now they're having all these weird things like knocking on the walls and their clothes being pulled out of drawers and things happening like that, that you would think of a typical like ghost encounter to be. So the girls are like, "This is a ghost." And when they tell Crazy. Their father about it, he's like, "It's fine. You're just imagining things."
Yeah, of course. That is funny.
It's crazy. It gets even weirder. So they
had, I mean, like,
sorry, go ahead.
Like when things physically move, it's like, I don't know. Like, you sure you didn't do that? It's like, yeah. All of my drawers are open and like most of the clothes are out. You think I did that and didn't remember doing it?
Right.
I don't know. It's just like, I think that people automatically dismiss it, but if you just kind of sit with it for like 20 or 30 seconds and think about what it would actually take to do that, you're like, okay, something's going on.
Yeah, definitely. It's super unnerving. They didn't know what to think. But these are 14, 15-year-old girls and an 8-year-old. So
yeah, I mean, what are they going to do?
Exactly. And they held a seance, you know? And this is the 80s. Like,
peak seance, you know?
It really was. I mean, this is like the time of like the satanic panic and things like that.
I don't even know what that is. What was the panic?
The satanic panic was this time in like the 80s and 90s where everyone was very paranoid about like satanic cults and like Satan worshipers. And they were convinced that they were like hiding everywhere. And we're going to like get everyone, basically. And there's a lot about it that I could get into, but that's like the very broad strokes of it.
Oh, maybe you could do an episode on it.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to get into it more. And I definitely feel like I could talk about it for a long time. But like, it was basically like everyone was very scared of like Satan worshipers and like demon stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But it had a lot to do with like society and like social change and feminism and like other stuff like that. But it led to like a lot of accusations and like panic, obviously panic.
Right.
It was in the title, right? But sensationalized stories and just a lot of trauma in general. So this was just like a lot of widespread panic happening in the 80s and 90s.
Sure.
Anyway, we could get into it another time.
Sounds good. But at this time, we've been playing with the Ouija board.
Pretty much, yeah. And they're getting real freaked out.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah, I definitely would. This is terrifying. I don't touch Ouija boards, and that's a very big rule that I have. I don't mess with that stuff. They had several weird things happen. One of the girls said they woke up in the night and had crumbs on their face.
Yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. Or at one point, they found their mother's wedding dress laid across the bed.
No.
Yeah. They found a trail of pennies down the staircase, and one morning they found pee in the bathtub. Time went by, and one evening, Tina and Kathy were talking to boys on the phone when a huge knock came at one of the windows of their bedroom, as if a pretty big rock was thrown into it. Because all three girls were together, they all knew they heard it, and none of them had done it. And their dad was at work, and it was 2 a.m. So, unsure of what to do, Tina called the police. When the cops showed up, they searched the house but didn't find anything. But they did ask, "Where are your parents? Because you shouldn't be here alone at this hour." When their dad got home, he told Tina they weren't supposed to be home by themselves at 2 a.m. and she should stop bothering the police.
Lovely. Yeah, don't call the cops if you think somebody's trying to break in.
Yeah. And now at this point, since the police didn't find anything, Tina thinks they have a ghost too. So
right. That
was the only logical explanation to them. And when she told anyone in her life about what she was experiencing at home, they thought she was acting out because of her grief and that she needed grief counseling. Nobody believed her. One evening, they went into the basement and found written on the wall in shaving foam, "I'm in your room, come and find me."
Okay, we need to take a picture of this for like evidence.
Right. But, you know, they're going to be like, "Well, you could have done that." So a few weeks later, Tina found another message that said, "I'm back. Find me if you can." When Tina told her father about this, he thought she needed professional help.
Okay. I mean, this is crazy. I don't know. He has to be like in a tough financial spot where he like needs to work all these hours.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's now caring for three girls, which obviously he chose to take on Kathy as well. But yeah, he just lost his wife. Like, he's also grieving.
Yeah.
And he has to take care of these girls. Like, he probably was dealing with this best way he could.
Yeah. Well, and it's like technically I'm not supposed to leave you at home, but like I'm in the restaurant business, you know?
Right, exactly. He's a restaurant manager at a hotel. He has to.
Hours away?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long away, but I don't know. It seemed like it wasn't super close to home, maybe an hour, maybe around 30-40 minutes, I don't know, but it wasn't right by home. But things only got worse, and it only took 3 weeks for Tina and Kathy to move through the house as a team. If they were going upstairs, Kathy would be in the front, Karen would be in the middle, and Tina would be in the back, walking backward so they could see all angles. They were scared. At night, they would barricade their bedroom door, and Tina would sleep with a knife under her pillow. But at a certain point, the fear turned to anger. One night, Tina was sitting on her bed on the phone when she heard a banging on the wall, and Kathy picked up a plastic bat, and they kicked in the door to the laundry room, which led to the cellar, and they yelled, "Whoever or whatever you are, come out, show yourself, we're over this." But they saw nothing, and they heard nothing. For 6 months, incidents would happen. A couple days in a row, things would happen, and then for weeks, nothing would happen. 2 full weeks of incidents, and then a week of nothing. One Friday evening, Tina was in the bathroom doing her hair and makeup to go out because she was going roller skating. Kathy was babysitting, but Tina's dad was going to pick her up and then drive Kathy, Karen, and Tina to the rink to go skating, and their plan was to meet boys there. As Tina was getting ready, a rock was thrown at the bathroom window, and it hit so hard that it cracked the pane on the window. This was the first time that her dad had been home when something happened. He was in his room watching TV, so she ran to get him to show him the window pane. When he saw the damage, he got a little nervous, so he went to check it out. In the meantime, Tina decided she was going to call Kathy, but when she picked up the phone, she realized the phone line was dead. When she went upstairs to the kitchen, that phone line was dead too. When her dad came back inside, he was holding a bag of individually wrapped candies and a BB gun. They didn't know what was going on, but the phone lines had been cut and burnt.
Whoa. And burnt.
Yep.
Is it a ghost still?
Well, obviously, I mean, we know that's not.
We know the answer, but it's pretty involved for, you know, poltergeists to get away with.
Well, that wasn't a ghost because the dad found a wrapped thing of candies and a BB gun.
So they shot a BB gun at the window.
Yeah.
Damn.
Tina used this opportunity to be like, see, I told you so. Something's going on. He told her he'd get to the bottom of this, but he had no idea what was going on. He reported the cutting and burning of the phone lines, so they got repaired, and then all the other activities died off after that for months, until December. Karen had gotten sick, and Tina had to stay home with her from school to take care of her. Tina and Karen were laying on their dad's bed watching TV, and Karen was taking a nap when Tina heard the radio turn on in the kitchen. Tina didn't have Kathy there with her, and Karen was asleep, and she was little anyway, so she was completely alone. Then she heard the cabinets in the kitchen start banging. Something was opening and closing the cabinets really quickly, and the music was blaring. So Tina started panicking. Whatever this was, it was back. Tina picked up the phone to call her dad, but it was the middle of the day, and he was a manager at a busy hotel restaurant, and it was the lunch rush. So when Tina told her dad someone was in the house, he told her, "Tina, hush. Nobody is there. We're going to talk when I get home." He didn't believe her. Meanwhile, Karen had woken up, and she was hungry, so she went to the kitchen for a snack. Tina hadn't realized, which was when she heard Karen crying. And Tina freaked out, but Karen just yelled out, "Where are the cupcakes and orange juice?" They had just gone grocery shopping, so they should have been there. Tina didn't know, so she told Karen Kathy had taken them to school for lunch. Tina had to go get ready for work, since things had, I guess, died down. She told Karen to come with her as she got ready for work. But as she was getting changed, she heard Karen start singing, "I found them, I found them. Kathy didn't take them to school. They're right here." So Tina came running into the red room, which was like their living room on the basement level, and there was a box of cupcakes with a few empty wrappers hanging out of the box. So Tina grabbed Karen by the hand, and they got out of that house.
The 8-year-old, like, not understanding what's happening is just making it more creepy.
Yeah, the cupcakes are in the basement and half eaten.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
Do you want to know what this made me think of?
What?
Something I did to my sister when I was a kid that was so mean.
Really? Yeah, because when you were like, yeah, you know, there were sisters, like, they tormented each other all the time. I was like, I didn't torment my brother like all the time.
I didn't torment my sisters all the time. Well, it depends on which sister you ask, I guess. But I did something really mean to my older sister.
All right, well.
When she was watching us. Okay, so we had this intercom system, I guess, kind of with like our landlines. So we had.
Oh, yeah.
We had a couple phones. And one phone was like the phone that we kept in the kitchen, one phone was kept in the basement, one phone was kept in the upstairs, and they each had a designated number. So we knew, like, phone number 2 was the basement phone, phone number 4 was the kitchen phone, whatever. So you could call from phone number 2 to phone number 4 and be like, "Hey, can you bring me this, whatever," which is cool. But so I took the basement phone and I called whatever phone was my sister's phone upstairs, and I just like started heavy breathing into the phone. And nobody ever used this phone because it was the basement phone and we didn't hang out in the basement like ever. So my sister picks it up and hears the heavy breathing and starts like freaking out, hangs up. And then she calls to me and she's like, "Steph?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Do you have the basement phone?" And I was like, "No." And we were the only ones home, and it's just me, my older sister, and my younger sister, who was like a baby at this point, like 1 or 2.
Right.
And she's like, "Okay, come on, let's go, we gotta go." And she like grabs us, and we start walking out of the house, and we get halfway across the street, and then I tell her that it was me, and she gets really mad, rightfully so. She thought there was someone in the house. She thought there was someone in the house that was so mean of me. But I was like, I don't know how old I was. It was funny. Anyway, sorry, Liana. Yeah.
Well, hey, we have our moments.
We do. And thankfully there wasn't someone in the house, but anyway, back to the story. So Tina got Karen out of the house.
Yep.
And nobody's home. Later on that evening, when they pulled up to their home with their dad, because I guess he picked her up from work with Karen, all of the lights inside were on. And she told her dad, when I left, it was daylight and we didn't have any lights on. When they walked through the front door, all the TVs were on as well. All the radios were on, and they were all on the same station and were very loud, like as loud as they could go. This was the second time Tina's father had seen something weird happen, which was more proof that Tina was not lying to him.
Wait, so he believes her or not?
I think he does, but he's like, I need to search this house now.
Oh, yeah.
So he starts with the basement, turning off all the TVs and the radios and searching as he went with Karen right behind him, and everything seemed fine. But then he went upstairs to keep searching, and they opened up one of the bedroom closet doors, and he says, excuse me, I'll just let you be, and shuts the door. And Tina, who is listening to him searching and thinks that's a joke and is not amused, yells, Dad, that's not funny. But then it went quiet. The next thing she hears was her dad yelling, girls, get your asses over here right now. When Tina looks, she sees her dad standing face to face with a creature of a person. Their hair had been spiked with hairspray, makeup all over their face like war paint. They were wearing a fur coat and were wielding a hatchet in one hand.
Okay, so he comes face to face with this person.
Yes.
And then calls his daughters over?
Well, so he's like, I just need to, he's backing them up.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I need to get my girls with me.
Right, okay. Thing.
So their father was backing up with his hands up as this person took steps toward him. And he was saying, it's okay. This is just a homeless person looking for food. It's okay. We're going to go into the last room on the left. It's okay. The girls were behind him as he backed them into the room. He closed the door to the room, and thankfully this person didn't storm them before he could lock the door. And he tried his best to keep the three girls calm as he figured out what to do next. But Karen was crying, and they were all panicking. He told Tina to go to the phone, but when she picked it up, the phone was once again dead, and the lamp had been removed in the room. So they had no lamp and no phone, and Tina started having a panic attack, just repeating, Dad, no light, no phone, Dad, no light, no phone, and she couldn't breathe. And in that moment, just like in the movies, she saw the window, and so she opened it and jumped out and started sprinting as fast as she could to the neighbor's house. And Kathy stuck her head out the window and screamed at the top of her lungs, run, Tina, run!
Oh my God.
She ran like she had never run before, through the dark and woods. The trees scratched her face, but she didn't care. She flew up the neighbor's steps and pounded on the door. When they opened up the door, she ran her neighbor over, screaming, there's a guy in the house with an axe and he's got the whole family! And the neighbor said, what? The neighbor called the police, and all they could do now was wait. Tina had no idea if her family was dead or alive.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help you save.
Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
State troopers pulled into the driveway, and Tina could see the police hiding in the woods around her house. A very large police officer came up to the window that Tina had jumped out of to get the rest of them out of the house, and Karen's father basically threw her out of the window to the police officer. Within 30 minutes, Tina was reunited with her dad, Karen, and Kathy at the neighbor's house. And when they got there, her dad got on his knees and gave her a very big apology for not believing her. Police searched the entire house, under beds and closets, anywhere they thought a person could hide, repeatedly. They searched the woods, but came up with nothing. They didn't know where this person could have gone. They did find the hatchet just outside the back door on the ground. Because of that, they thought maybe he had gotten away, but still the family was advised to not spend the night there. The next night, Tina's father called the police to escort them back home because he didn't want to enter the home alone. Officer Steve Bazanson escorted the family there, and Tina said when they pulled up, someone was waving at them from the second floor bedroom window.
Surround this bitch right now.
Yeah. So as they approached the home, there were no footprints and no sign of a break-in, so Bazanson unlocked the door and went inside. But when he walked toward the stairs, he saw there was a paper on the wall with big writing and a knife stuck through it that said, "I'm still here. Come and find me." So he,
yeah, get the whole station down here now, dude.
Yeah. So he went further up the stairs, and then there was another note with another knife stuck through it that said, "I'm going to kill you all."
Okay. This person, beyond crazy.
Well, yes. Which definitely was not on the wall when the guys locked up the house the night before.
They're like, "Tina, stop acting out.
Tina, you need professional help,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, Tina, this is getting out of hand."
Yeah.
"I'm going to kill you all." Very funny.
Funny, Tina.
Yeah.
Real nice, Tina.
Like, really, cherry on top? Is it that time of the month, Tina?
Oh, my God. Oh. No, it was written in red.
Oh!
Real funny, Tina.
Real funny.
Let's recenter ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine, like, having seen that person.
I know. No, it seems...
With the spiked hair and the makeup?
Extremely scary.
With a hatchet?
A fur coat, too. Like, I mean,
it looks... a fur coat?
It looks like a monster, truly.
Yeah, with a good sense of style. Yeah, I mean, beyond words, just be... I would be terrified. I would be selling the house immediately.
Yeah.
Who would buy it, though? I'm sorry.
Well, first they have to find where he's hiding. Like, how is he getting in? Where is he hiding? How have we not located him yet? He's obviously still here.
Well, is it the 80s and everything's just unlocked?
I mean, probably somewhat, especially with just the three girls there all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
So these notes were obviously not on the wall when they locked up the night before. And so this police officer is thinking, this guy's gotta still be here. I don't think the cops saw that the person was waving, and I don't know if Tina said anything. So they didn't know, I guess.
I was gonna say, Tina, you might wanna let him know.
Right.
Give him a heads up.
So they searched the house again, under the beds, in the closets, things like that, and once again didn't find anything. But Bazanson was adamant that this guy was still here. So they searched again. And this time they looked in places they hadn't looked before. And they ended up downstairs in the small laundry room. Down there was a toilet. And behind that toilet, they realized the wall behind it actually was not a part of the real wall. It was a false wall to hide pipes. There was an 8 to 9 inch space between the walls, and when Bazanson looked at the base of it, he realized that someone could fit in there. So he asked the sergeant for his flashlight, and when he shined it in there, he saw a 3 to 4 foot pile of dirty clothing, and terrifyingly enough, they saw a man crouching in the corner. So he drew his pistol and said, "I want to see your hands, and I want to see them real slow." When they brought the man upstairs, Tina realized that she actually recognized the guy they just pulled out of her basement. He still had crazy hair and war paint on, but she knew his eyes. That was Danny LaPlante.
What? That's Danny LaPlante.
Yeah. Tina had spoken with 16-year-old Danny LaPlante for months on the phone. Danny got her number through the boys they met when they were dancing in the window at the laundromat. She didn't think it was weird at all that an unidentified guy ended up getting her number. She chatted with him for a while, and over the phone, he described himself as tall, athletic, blonde, a total hottie. But when she met him in person at an 8th grade school event, and like they went out on a date, she realized that she actually didn't like the way that Danny looked or smelled. He washed very infrequently, and she wasn't attracted to him in person like she was over the phone. She said he was flat out ugly.
Rough.
Not only that, but when he found out about her dead mother, he kept asking her a lot of very inappropriate questions about that, like how she suffered, how Tina felt when she died, and what it was like to have a dead parent, and, you know, things like that. So Danny LaPlante is a very troubled person. His
really?
Background, yeah, I mean, you could have guessed, right? His background is very bleak. He was abused and also, yeah, so he had a lot going on in that nature, but he also was, it seemed like there was nature and nurture happening.
Yeah.
And after that in-person interaction, she stopped taking his calls and forgotten all about him because she's 14 or 15 years old and she's like, on to the next. But now here he was. And he was the thing in her walls that was tormenting her for all of these months. And Tina felt like this was all her fault. Danny had been moving in and out of her house for 6 months, eating their food and terrorizing them. There were electrical outlets in her bedroom that were cut out and balanced in the walls so he could remove them and peek in at her. He was removed from the home and charged for breaking and entering, kidnapping, and threatening bodily harm. Following his arrest, he was held for 9.5 months until his mother was able to come up with the $10,000 bail that allowed him to be released in mid-October of 1987. In mid-December, Danny LaPlante broke into the home of his former lawyer, Andrew Gustafson, who wasn't home at the time. He ended up murdering Priscilla Gustafson, who was pregnant, and her 2 young children in a very horrible way.
Oh my God.
Lieutenant Thomas A. Lane had no facts on the case at all, but he immediately thought of Daniel LaPlante because they didn't know who had done it. But when he heard the facts of the case, he was like, could be him. He became involved in a manhunt for him because he knew LaPlante could hide anywhere. And it actually was a statewide manhunt that went on for 2 days. Eventually, they found him in a dumpster and he was arrested. And in October of 1988, he was tried and convicted of 3 counts of murder and sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences with no chance of parole. The judge said if Massachusetts had the death penalty, he would personally pull the switch.
Yeah.
If that paints a picture. I didn't want to get into the specifics of that because it was pretty horrifying, but.
Yeah, I mean.
That's pretty telling if the judge is saying that.
Ugh. I thought the death penalty too.
Yeah. So also the house Daniel lived in was 22 Elm Street. So he was quite literally a nightmare on Elm Street. When Tina learned about what he had done, she felt sick because she knew he could have killed them anytime he wanted to. He had every opportunity to cause physical harm to them over those 6 months. And for whatever reason, he didn't. And they survived to tell the tale. But they lived through something that was like out of a horror movie. And that's their story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to process the information.
I know.
This is so much in like 2 minutes to learn.
Yeah, I know. The ending is really kind of jam-packed in there, but...
Wow.
We also have another frogging story, just
oh my God.
To let you know.
Hey, it's just so terrifying because, yeah, like, I mean, everything for a long time that he was doing, you could kind of dismiss as like paranormal activity.
Yeah.
And like, he's just so sneaky.
He was really good at breaking into people's houses. So he wasn't like living in their house for 6 whole months. He was coming and going.
Was he like breaking into other people's houses? Or
he did at other points, but he wasn't. I don't think he was over that 6 month period, at least not that anyone ever found out. It's possible that he was, but he never got caught for it.
Yeah.
It seemed like those 6 months were very much dedicated to the Bowen family.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And honestly, it's very shocking that he didn't kill them, especially because he was so violent only like a month or so later.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it makes no sense. You'll never make sense of crazy, but he never even showed himself. There was no physical harm. It was all just torment, you know?
Well, based off of like his history, he really enjoyed breaking into people's homes and like scaring them and like having them know that someone was in their house, but not being able to find them. So he liked frogging in that way, but like he liked the fear element of it. So he liked tormenting them. I mean, obviously he was doing it for so long. So this was obviously a game to him. But I mean, the night that Frank Bowen found him and he backed the three girls and them into the room, I mean, who's to say he wasn't going to kill them? He probably would have had Tina not ran and got the cops.
Yeah, probably. Oh boy.
Yeah, really scary. But
I don't even know. I mean, what the fuck do you do as the dad? Like, I mean, he did the right thing, but
he felt terrible for not believing Tina. I mean,
yeah.
Could you imagine being that father and realizing that for 6 months you had a daughter telling you repeatedly that someone was in the house or like these really scary, strange things were happening, and you just didn't believe her and brushed her off repeatedly and like told her not to call the cops, and then that happened and that thing was in your home?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he had killed them, you know,
you'd never recover. You wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever did recover, even just like from what they lived through.
I mean, this poor family lost their mother.
Yeah.
And now this, it's like,
yeah, I mean, Tina said
it's just too much for one person to handle.
Yeah, Tina said until the day that he died, like it affected him in like a very big way.
How could it not?
Yeah. It affected all of them in a very big way. I mean, how do you feel comfortable in your home again? Yeah,
how do you go live in a home,
right?
You know?
Yeah. But
yeah, you get like a studio apartment with no hiding places.
Yeah. But that truly sounds like a horror film. Like, I'm surprised it wasn't turned into a horror movie.
I'm sure it could be, but you know. Wow. Here we are.
I do have a second frogging story.
You have? Whoa. Okay. We have a second one. I did not know that this was a two-part episode.
Yeah.
Here we are.
We go deep into the frogging ones,
I guess. All right. Well, what's this one?
Let's get into it. Okay. So in 2019, Amanda Smith was living with her then fiance, Tim, in an apartment in Portland, Oregon. She was working full-time as an administrative coordinator for a local hospital, and Tim was working as a manager at a French bistro. They were about a year and a half engaged at that point. The couple met on an online dating service, and because their schedules were so opposite, it took about 5 months of texting before they were able to meet in person. But when they finally did meet, it was completely spontaneous. It was because they both happened to get off work early, and they were able to meet up at a local dive bar. And since then, they have been inseparable ever since. Flash forward, they're now engaged and looking for a house, and at the time, they had been house hunting for about 6 months, when one day, their realtor called Amanda and told her there was a really amazing house that wasn't even listed yet, and he would be able to get them in for a tour that day. So she basically had to leave work immediately and hurry over to see this house because they couldn't pass up this opportunity. When she got there for the showing, she was blown away. It was better than what she had expected to find in their price range. It was really homey, had a ton of character, natural light, a great layout. It checked all of their boxes. You walk in through beautiful French doors to the dining room slash living area, which flowed into the kitchen, and then down the hallway, there were three bedrooms and a bathroom. Amanda knew they needed to jump on this opportunity, so she and Tim decided they were going to put in an offer then and there before Tim could even see it in person. He just had to trust that it was going to be good. In June of 2019, Amanda and Tim got the keys to their new house, and they decided they were going to have their wedding shower at the house in the backyard. And a few months after that, they planned on having their wedding in the backyard as well. At that point, Tim said they were, quote, millennials with a mortgage, so any sort of thing we could afford has to now just be put back into this home. But they were making it work, and they loved their new home. They went into their junk drawer, and the previous owners left several appliance manuals, as well as this massive bag of unmarked keys that were not connected to each other. It was just a bag of loose keys. Tim and Amanda took a look at this bag of keys and basically said, "This looks like a problem for future us," and tossed the bag of keys in the drawer and shut it. Which sounds right.
Yep.
A month later was their beer-themed wedding shower, and everything went so well. Their theme was cheers and beers, which is maybe the most millennial thing I've ever heard, but I do love it. They had everyone they wanted there. Amanda's aunt was staying with them, and she was crocheting a blanket at the party whenever she had a moment. Her sister made these really beautiful cupcakes that she had on display that were stout triple chocolate cupcakes, which sound amazing. People were playing games. They had a hot chocolate station. They felt like it was a magical night. They had their big French doors open, and they had everyone they loved in their backyard in their new home. If only the story ended there with, and then they lived happily ever after. But unfortunately, that isn't what happened. The next morning, Tim, Amanda, her aunt, and sister had a wonderful brunch and then drove back in Amanda's sister's car. When they got out of the car, they see that on their car in the driveway was a giant box leaning on the windshield, and they also saw an empty bottle of wine and a laptop next to it. They realized pretty quickly that this was not anything they had ever owned, and they also knew it wasn't anything any of their guests had left behind. So they brought it inside because they thought it was strange and they didn't want anyone to drive by and think it was free stuff that was left outside. When they unlocked their front door, they found their dogs were a little skittish, but excited to see them. And then Amanda's gaze landed on something else odd. There was a huge, bright red, chunky vape on their dining room table. That definitely didn't belong to anyone they knew. After seeing that, they noticed that things were out of place in the room. Tables had been scooted over, chairs were pulled out, things weren't where they had left them. When they walked into the kitchen, they saw a bunch of frosting toppings from the cupcakes that had been separated from three of the bottoms, and the bottoms were half eaten and just strewn about. Amanda's sister and aunt were still outside, and so Amanda leaned out the door and told them, "Why don't you guys stay outside? We think there might be something going on here." And Amanda's aunt asked her if she wanted them to call the police. And Amanda told her, "Not yet. We're just gonna look around, but why don't you take the dogs and put them in the car with the window rolled down?" So they started looking around a little more, and they noticed, along with the cupcakes that had been eaten, whoever was there had also helped themselves to a pot of their coffee. So at this point, they knew someone had definitely been there.
Or it's a ghost.
Or it's a ghost.
It's the vaping ghost.
Yeah.
It's not Casper, it's Vasper.
Tina.
Tina. It's Tina Boots, the ghost. Could you imagine a drag queen ghost?
I would love every second of that. Don't even play with me right now.
She's just doing like a death drop.
That's a real death drop right there.
Whoa.
Come on.
Fun.
Let's go. Okay. Amanda started freaking out because she knew they had left their TV and video games and gifts they had gotten from their wedding shower in the garage, so she told Tim she was going to go check on them. So she rushed into the garage and immediately saw that the game system was gone, and she saw this giant black tarp that didn't belong there and wasn't theirs. Tim and Amanda regrouped in the living room because they were obviously dealing with something a lot more serious than someone eating their cupcakes. So Tim flipped open the box that had been left on their car and found these knives that were probably supposed to be for display use because they had pretty engravings on them, but they were definitely sharp. So Tim took one of them out of the box, and with this sharp knife in hand, they decide they're going to go further into the house to inspect.
No. Call the cops, honey. Call the police.
Because they hadn't gone down their hallway yet. So Tim goes down the hallway, and when he grabs on their doorknob of their bedroom, he realizes it's locked. So he's standing there, grabbing at the door handle, furiously shaking it with the knife in one hand, and Tim is kind of going on blind rage at this point, and he knows that someone is in here because his door is locked, and he's furious. He's seeing red at this point.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Amanda noticed that the ventilation grates from the furnace were pulled up from the floor in the main hallway, and she looked to the side as Tim was jiggling the door handle, and she sees that their bathroom was completely trashed. The mirror had been ripped from the wall, and there was a massive hole in the wall above the sink, and the electrical sockets were yanked from the wall, the light bulbs were taken out and put in the bathtub. So as Amanda's looking at that, Tim barks out at her, "Babe, keys." So Amanda runs down the hallway, and before grabbing their large bag of loose keys, she runs to the front door and yells to her aunt and sister, "Call the cops, there has been a break-in, and we think he might still be here." After that, Amanda runs to the kitchen and grabs the bag of keys and brings them back to Tim. And then she takes the knife from him, and while he's rustling through the bag of keys and tries them one by one, he's dropping each one that doesn't work to the ground.
What a scene. How many do they have?
A lot.
She's going to sit there?
Yes.
Go through all 200?
Pretty much. So with each key that didn't work, he was getting increasingly frustrated, and Tim is banging on the door and telling whoever's in his room that if they make themselves known, Tim will let them go. But he's working through a big bag of keys from the previous owners, and when he gets in this room, if they don't make themselves known, he's going to take it as a threat, and he's got a knife. Finally, he found the key that fit in the lock, and he shoved the door open and took the knife back from Amanda and barged in. But to their surprise, there was nobody in the room. The room was absolutely trashed. The whole room was torn apart. Boxes of clothing had been spilled out and rummaged through. There were pieces of drywall on the floor. But probably the most shocking were these massive holes in the walls that were big enough for a person to fit through. And they went through to the next room. So Tim sees the holes in the wall and the window, and he's thinking the hole was the point of entry and the window was the point of exit. And after Tim checks the closets, they back out of the room into the hallway and they move over to the next room that had the hole connected to their room and see that that room is equally trashed. But then Amanda stops dead in her tracks and says, "Wait, they're still here." She says, "There's somebody underneath the floor. I can hear them crawling around down there." Tim was very shocked by that statement, but he listened closely, and he could also hear rustling and thumping underneath their feet. It was coming from where all the vents led, their crawl space. Would it be a frogging episode without an appearance from the crawl space?
The crawl space. Creepy. I just like...
The dreaded crawl space.
I want to explode from the inside.
Yes.
When I hear that there is rustling beneath your feet.
In the crawl space?
Yeah.
Woo!
I don't know. I feel like I would be having a similar reaction to Tim. I'm like, get the fuck out of my house, you know?
Yeah. So Amanda was furious now at this point. She's getting into blind rage territory.
Right.
Because this was the house they had just bought like a month previous.
And then they're going to have to pay all these repair costs.
Yes. And they're going to have their wedding there like in a couple months. So they got their keys like a month ago. And so she begins stomping down the hallway and screaming, "If you're in here, get out. Get out of my house." Tim made his way down the hallway to the first bedroom, which was the room Amanda's Auntie Robin had been staying in, because that was the room that had access to the crawl space in it, which they hadn't looked in this bedroom yet. But when they did, it was complete chaos. There was stuff everywhere. Unspooled yarn, the blanket her aunt had been making at the party was half undone, her suitcase was tipped over and rummaged through, her pills had been spilled out everywhere, there were Christmas lights all over the floor, and the hatch to the crawl space was askew. When Tim got the crawl space hatch open, they saw Christmas lights had been taped to the bottom of it, and they saw that it had been tied up with yarn. So he moved the hatch to the side and dropped down into the crawl space and then grabbed the knife once again from Amanda, who was waiting in the room for Tim. And Tim started making his way down into the crawl space to see if there was anyone down there.
Dude, just piece of advice. Let the cops do this shit. My God, you're going to get yourself killed, dude.
So, okay, this is crazy. So Tim's got a knife.
He's trying to clear the crawl space. Like, what is he going to do if he sees this guy? Is he just going to stab him?
He doesn't know. He's not really thinking at all. He's not thinking about just future. Reacting. He's just reacting. And Amanda's standing up in the room and she's thinking, okay, now I have to arm myself. And she grabs a replica sword. So picture these two millennials, okay? Two millennials in a dream. They just bought their house. They've got a replica sword and a decorative knife and a dream.
Right. Like a katana.
Yeah. And just blind rage. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the decorative knife is not a bad choice.
I mean, it's a sharp knife.
It'll get the job done. I mean, what a fucking scene. Also, what do you do after this? Do you just leave? You go stay the night in a hotel?
I don't know. So Tim drops down into the crawl space and there's two walls on either side. One is ventilation and ductwork, and the other one is all the brickwork that's under the foundation. And there's about a 25-foot long hallway, but he has to be crouched down. So Tim pulled out his phone and he turned on his flashlight. And at the end of this 25-foot hallway, where it becomes two blind corners at the end, standing right in the center was a cat wearing one of his dog's sweaters. And so now he's thinking to himself, okay, great. This is literally a cat burglar. What's going on?
No. I mean, the cat didn't make a human-sized hole,
well,
dude.
No, of course not. So Tim decides he wasn't going to go any further into the crawl space because he knew for sure that someone else was down there with him because he heard more movement coming from behind one of the blind corners. So he can't see the part of the crawl space that this person is in. And he's thinking to himself, I'm not going to get into a fight while he's crouched over in a 4-foot space in a blind corner. He's just not going to do it. So
good move.
Yeah. So he came back up from the crawl space and he told Amanda that there was a cat down there wearing a sweater. And Amanda was like, what the hell is going on right now? They decided they're going to pile everything they possibly can on top of the entrance to the crawl space and call the cops. So they closed the hatch and they put like 3 suitcases on top because now whoever was down there knows that they know he's down there. And Tim sprints out of the house and tells Amanda's sister, Kara, who was still on the phone with the police, that there is definitely still a person in their house because she didn't know exactly what was going on. And now they know that the intruder was still inside. The police were going to come a lot quicker. So several police units arrived shortly after with a canine. And they begin searching the house. Amanda and Tim were outside on the front lawn with her sister and aunt, but they can hear the cops yelling, get out, come out. And after a while, they hear the distinct sound of the metal clink of handcuffs, which is when Tim turns to Amanda and says, oh shit, he was really in there.
Yeah, dude.
A minute or so later, the front door swings open and they see the man who was in their crawl space come walking out in cuffs. He was very tall and very dirty and wearing her Christmas onesie, which had been stretched a lot because he was much bigger than Amanda and it was covered in dirt from the crawl space. It was such an odd piece of clothing to be wearing and only added to how violating this whole thing felt because it had been packed away with all of their holiday things and it showed how far he had dug into their lives. As he was about to be taken away, one of the officers came up to them and said, by the way, the cat in your house, his name is Spaghetti.
Okay. What?
They felt like they were dreaming because what the hell just happened?
I know. I mean, the Christmas onesie.
Yeah.
And he's just like a 6'5", 250-pound person.
Yeah, probably.
Just a large man.
Yeah.
Surreal scene.
I know. Yeah. Walking through, they realized that there was a lot of damage that had been done to their new home, which was devastating because up until that moment, they were celebrating their new house. They had just had an amazing wedding shower, and they were supposed to have their wedding there in a few short months. And now it felt like it was all being taken away. Their home felt like a crime scene. 3 days later, they found out the man who was in their crawl space was Ryan Bishop, a 38-year-old man from Vancouver, Washington, about a 30-minute drive and across the river from their house. He was arrested and charged with first-degree burglary and criminal mischief. He reached a plea deal to serve 36 months of probation, and when the cops were at the house, they told Tim and Amanda they had to call animal control to get the cat out. But when they called animal control, they told them the cat had to be in a crate for them to come and take it, so they had to catch spaghetti.
Oh my god.
At first, Tim went down into the crawl space with a blanket and tried to sneak up on Spaghetti and managed to get her in a blanket, but before they could get her out, she freaked out and got away and completely scratched up Amanda's arm. So they ended up leaving food outside the crawl space to lure Spaghetti out, and she was in the crawl space for like 2 days, but the food was getting eaten, so they just had to wait for her. Until finally, Amanda got a video of a very beautiful cat while she was at work, and it was Spaghetti. Tim had gotten her out, and she was in the garage with Tim. And then later that day, Tim got a phone call from a relative of Ryan Bishop, who said they were the owner of Spaghetti and wanted to come pick her up. So the following day...
This story is so nuts.
I know. So the following day...
Can we come get Spaghetti?
Right. So I guess Ryan Bishop must have been like, I was here. Call this person.
Right. You're like, hey, we're sorry about Ryan, but we do want Spaghetti back.
Yeah. So the family member who came to pick up Spaghetti didn't actually know what was going on with Ryan Bishop. Like, they
just
didn't explain it. Like I guess he didn't explain to them what he had done. So Tim told them what he had done, and they felt terrible and like cried about it, which Tim felt bad about, but he's like, that is what happened. But when she walked into the garage and said, Spaghetti, come here, the cat came running right up to her. And so Tim was like, yeah, that's Spaghetti's owner. Yeah. And so
that's Spaghetti's mom.
That's Spaghetti's mom.
Confused with mom's Spaghetti.
Right. That's true. Very true. And that was the last they ever saw of Spaghetti. And so 2 months later, Amanda and Tim were married. I don't know if they got married in their backyard or not, but they were very happy on their wedding day, and now I can say that they lived happily ever after.
Well, hopefully in a house that is fixed up.
Yeah, I'm sure fixed up.
I wonder how much damage he actually did.
It was a lot. Like, I saw some pictures, and it was like the holes were not small.
Was there any explanation?
No.
He's just crazy.
He was probably going through some kind of mental health crisis. I don't know. But he came into their house and tore it up, like quite literally tore it up.
And then, you know, in all his wisdom, put on a Christmas onesie that did not fit him.
Yep. Yeah. She is a short, small person, and he is very tall.
Big, big man.
Big, big man. And put on her Christmas onesie and was walked out in handcuffs wearing it and left Spaghetti in a sweater in the basement. This story to me just felt like so millennial. And this is no shade to millennials. I think they are great. We are right on the cusp of being millennials. Some days I feel like millennials, some days I feel like a Gen Z, but like it just felt like the most millennial story I could have given to you in a frogging regard. And it is just so funny to me.
Yeah.
Down to the sword at the crawl space.
Yeah.
You know, and the stout cupcakes and the beer themed wedding shower. I loved every second of it.
Yeah. I kind of feel like where we are in the generation, I feel like we're in the first row of like the mezzanine level.
Yeah.
Where I can look down on all the millennials because they're older. But sure. Then everyone else who's also Gen Z is like looking down at us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're the very, very first year of Gen Z.
And we're like, we're on this like strip, and then there's like another level behind us.
Mm-hmm.
We are like uniquely kind of in between.
We are. I think our pocket of generation is kind of called Zillennial. Like, we're kind of our own thing in a weird way. But it really made me giggle, and I had to include it because, I mean, the last story was very ooky spooky and ended on a really dark note, and so I really wanted to end on the cat named Spaghetti, and so here we are.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's also wild. It's like, yeah, I mean, we have this cat living in our basement. Like, can somebody come get your mans, you know? Like, they're like, well, we can, but it has to be in a box.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, control, that's your job.
Right, exactly. Animal control being like, well, the cat has to be in a crate. It's like, well, you're animal control.
Get a pool net.
Put it in a crate.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Please.
I'm like, you're professionals. I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
With a katana.
Right.
I mean, I, you know, they did what they could.
They did great.
I'm like, yeah. Do you get kind of like one of those live traps that kind of like shuts and you put food at the back?
It seemed like Spaghetti was a very sweet girl. They did.
I'm sure she was.
They
did, you know,
the right thing. I mean, the blanket was, they were doing well with the blanket, but then she got scared. I mean, I understand why she was scared. She was shoved in a dog sweater in a basement with a man who was doing God only knows what.
It's tough to explain to cats what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So she was probably shaken up to begin with. And then she's in a basement with two people that she's never met before who's putting her in a blanket. And she's like, wait a minute, I'm actually not cool with any of this.
Yeah.
So she freaked out a little, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But then she got out. She said, oh, you're going to feed me? And you'll just keep me in your garage.
It's like,
for
oh,
a
mom's
minute.
Here again.
Yeah. Oh,
hey.
Actually, this is fine.
Wild.
Yeah.
Well,
that's our frogging episode. And kind of
was that a frogging episode, or was that just like breaking and entering, I guess?
Well, yeah. I mean, that last one was kind of.
That was
and
all
entering.
Resolved in one day. I mean, the 6 months. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I guess if it's including a crawl space, I'm like, that's pretty.
It counts.
That's pretty frogging to me. But, ah.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that's just so intriguing to me is just how any person gets to this point where they're doing something like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what psychologically happens? Like, what personality makeup do you need? What environmental factors do you need?
I have no idea.
To get to the point where you're doing this.
People do all kinds of weird shit.
I know, but it makes no sense. And now, because of that, I need to make sense of it.
You love asking your questions.
I know, but are you not intrigued? Like,
yeah, no, I'm intrigued.
Now, here's the thing. I'm never going to spend the time to get the answers.
Sure. You'll just ask me.
But then. I would like them if I could just Google it and have it be like a couple sentences.
That'd be great.
That's something I could handle.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just so divorced from what you would consider normal. But here we are.
And here we are. I think that's all I have to say about that. That was kind of a Halloween special before Halloween, and I feel good about that. I hope you enjoyed it, because I did. Why don't we have a bit of a palate cleanser? And you can tell me your good thing. What is your good thing?
I'm always unprepared.
I can go first.
You can go first.
My good thing is that in about 20 minutes, we're going to go swimming.
That is true.
With our good pals. And that is a very good thing for me. It's probably going to be our last swim of the season, honestly. We've got like it's like we had a little taste of fall, which always happens. And then we have another hot week, and we're in the hot week.
It's just the last one.
Yeah. So we're going to have a little swim and probably sit in a hot tub. And then we'll hopefully get back into the little crisp fall time. But also, I don't want to wish away the hot weather too quickly, because I know in a couple months I'll be probably miserable about the cold. So... But that's just how it goes.
That is how the cookie
it's
crumbles.
The circle of life, or whatever. Anyway, that's my good thing. What's yours?
My good thing is that we had a very nice dinner.
We did.
That was paid for by your gift card.
Thank you to your parents.
Thank you, Mom.
For my gift card. It was
helped.
Very good.
It was really for me, too.
Yeah. You're like, Stephanie really wants a gift card for a restaurant.
Well,
no, I do.
Really wanted to go to this specific restaurant, and I was there.
Yeah. And
you know?
You're not wrong. I did want that. It was a lovely dinner. I had a great time.
So.
And the best gifts are when they benefit multiple people, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
So. It was funny, though, because my mom asked me, like, oh, what would Stephanie like? And, like, I couldn't think of anything else. But, you know, the thing that I thought of was also for me, you know? That didn't cross my mind, but it's not a bad thing.
No, that's like when I get you a gift that's like, ooh, I'll get you a couples massage.
Yeah, right.
Like, or, like, an experience that also includes me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, those are sometimes the best.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad that it benefited you as well. But anyway, Thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to check out all of our bonus episodes and vote on stories you want to hear, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram at nottoday_podcast. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival that you would like to share with us and possibly hear on an upcoming listeners episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have a TikTok that is nottodaypodcast and a Twitter that is nottodaypodcast with a T on the name. Podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.